But regardless, and as you were kind of alluding to in a little bit, is we already have two mine permits already in place, which puts us in a completely separate permitting track or re-permitting track. We believe it's about a year and a half to 2 years to get that up and running.
As opposed to
We're
6+ years or 7+ years.
correct, correct.
Yeah.
One thing, you know, that we're also assessing there is the possibility of direct ship ore as
Yeah.
well, because it's very high grade material. You know, a couple of companies in British Columbia are doing that, you know, very successfully, and they've been handsomely rewarded their share price because of that as well. And we have, you know, similar, if not actually better grade material than them as well. So it's and for the direct ship ore, we can actually probably cut that year and a half to 2 year, maybe even in half. And we
Yeah.
also have, you know, met studies and the PEA coming. We hired Ausenco as well to do the
When is the
PEA.
PEA coming?
So we estimating probably around July.
Oh, wow. So that's right around the corner. Yeah. So you should have a lot of great news flow. It's been a little bit quiet, but you should have a lot of great news flow coming out over the next several weeks, if not several months, correct?
That's right.
Marco Rock, Cassiar Gold, good afternoon to you, my friend. How's it going?
Great, Danny. And how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for coming on. Just full disclosure, I am an investor in Cassiar Gold, and Cassiar Gold is a sponsor to naturalresourcestocks.net. So, Marco, we had this huge run up in January, and you actually really caught, you guys were really one of the stronger stocks, I thought, or started catching a bid. I always loved you because of the value relative to all of your peers. Was significant, and you started catching up. And then surprising, that's not too surprisingly, but stocks really sold off really in March, accelerated in March. I think we're bottoming here. Surprisingly, you certainly were part of that, but not as much as a lot of the other names that I own. Talk about just the general market. Talk about the gold and the gold market, that sell-off, if you think, I mean, again, not saying to have a crystal ball, but what your thoughts are, if this is a good time to jump in, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, I mean, it's I think the markets are, you know, pretty crazy. You know, since the Iran war, you know, it's been really volatile for markets. It's really hard to predict anything these days, to be honest. You know, as you were like commenting, like I think the gold price rally up to, yeah, like a month or so ago was going really strong, and even silver, it was crazy. Was really like almost, I mean, more in silver like a hockey stick, but in gold it was going pretty hard and aggressive. So I think a correction was, and some consolidation was needed. But you add that to, you know, Iran war and a Trump effect. Trump tweets or Trump press conferences where he says one thing and the opposite, maybe even in the same sentence, you know, makes it for very volatile markets. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, basically QE and money printing has restarted. I think the US needs to refinance $10 trillion this year. Interest expenses over, you know, $1 trillion. I think it's 1.2, 1.3 trillion. I stopped, you know, following the amount of you know, basically debt burden and debt servicing that is
It's a lot of
affecting.
zeros.
Yeah, it's a lot of zeros, and there's really no exits. So, you know, the only way that governments can, you know, can avoid a default is really by debasement. So they'll need to keep on printing money, inflate, you know, the currency supply. You know, the people that are not protected by investing in precious metals or precious metals equities won't realize what's happening. They'll just see higher and higher inflation, the cost of living going higher, and you know, it's a bit of a tough and sad situation. But you know, I think for the people who are paying attention, you know, they should definitely have precious metals exposure, and And I think actually the gold equities are not expensive. You look at the valuations, even the big producers, they're actually quite nice. Of course, you have now this risk of what's going to be the impact of energy costs in some of the producers, etc. They'll maybe keep on continue to have some cost creep on the cost side, but the margins are so healthy. When I think today, the last I saw, gold was 4,800. I think it's a sector that's going to continue to generate a lot of free cash flow. And although the valuations have went up, and some stocks are up 2, 3, 4, some of them 10x, there's still a lot of room to go. So I'm a gold bug, but so I'm it's hard not to be bullish on gold. The conditions and the fundamentals are continue to point that way. And the rest of the stock market, although there's been some correction lately, it's also definitely not cheap. So continue to see a lot of value in the precious metals, continue to see a lot of value in precious metals equities. And the volatility can be your friend, because it can give you really attractive entry points, both because of war, money printing, inflation, or Trump press conferences or tweets.
Yeah, right. So, talk a little bit about that. And what I mean is this sell-off, I was just thinking everybody was all scared when, or that they thought it was the top at about $4,000 gold. And now we've had this correction. Here we are today. What's the date? It's April 9th, and we're at $4,800 gold, and people are still afraid, if you would, after the correction. So I guess you mentioned margins. It seems like producers are printing money at these levels, and everything that you just said, it seems like also that nothing has changed for the macro picture. In fact, it's only gotten better for the gold investor.
Yeah, no, for sure. When you see gold going up from 1,800 to 4,000 or 5,000 or 5,500, like we also saw recently, it's especially the outsiders or the new people in the sector is like, oh, like I missed the boat. But there's really no limit, to how high the gold price can go, because there's really no limit to how much money printing you can do.
Right.
Obviously you have to put everything into balance, see where we are in the cycle, how strained the global financial system is, and geopolitics as well, becoming a big more and more so. And I think it'll continue to be a big driver for gold prices as well. Central banks continue to accumulate. You did apparently saw some central banks dumping gold, I think out of necessity, because in a crisis you sell what you can, not what you want.
Right.
Like all these reports about Turkey selling gold, and some other Middle Eastern countries selling gold to have some liquidity. The world is not getting safer. The printing tab, the printing tab is not getting closed as well. The costs, are climbing because of inflation, but the gold price is climbing faster, and the margins now are say over 50% when you compare
Ridiculous, yeah.
to the spot price. The valuations, when you look at free cash flow yields or PE ratios or whatever metric you want to use for valuation, still very attractive. And the other aspect as well is what's going to be the supply response in terms of mining for all this demand for gold. And you look at the sector, and globally it takes about 18 years on average to get from discovery to production. So of course we'll have some supply response, but it's you spent the last, say, 15 years or so with without many major discoveries in the gold space, and they just don't happen overnight. So There's only so many projects out there with sizable resources like us that have, runway to continue to grow quite a bit. And also more importantly, in safe jurisdictions, because in this geopolitical context, I think I've been saying this for about 4 or 5 years. Jurisdiction is very, very important. And you have surprises coming out of, left field as well. So it's good to be in a safe jurisdiction with rule of law, with property rights, with stable regulation, with workforce, with infrastructure, and ideally not next to a crazy neighbor that's going to try to drone you or bomb you.
Right. So I want to talk a little bit about what you just said, and then I want to get to really the plan for Cassiar Gold into the end of the year. But you made something key. You guys are in a safe jurisdiction in BC. I actually usually go into BC when I'm investing, and I ask a lot of questions, and I don't want to say I shun, but I try to stay away from BC. But you're different. Different in that you have a permit to mine, permit to drill. Talk to me a little bit about, and you have a great resource and great infrastructure. Just talk to me about that. Give us a 30,000 foot view.
No, for sure. I mean, a lot of people in the mining sector. I mean, Canada is a great place to mine, and so is British Columbia. But in within the great and or the best jurisdictions, there's usually this perception that, which to a certain extent is true, but this perception that it is a British Columbia is a slow place to permit. A lot of projects take 6 to 8 years, some of them more, to get a mining permit. Time is money. It can be frustrating for investors and for mining companies, of course, to have to go through this permitting, timelines. About a year ago, the rhetoric changed a little bit with Carney coming to the government, Justin Trudeau leaving. I think the rhetoric became a little bit more mining friendly. Also with the Trump versus Canada kind of 51st state kind of discussion as well. There was a bit of a reaction, and I think Canada, the Canadian government and the industry kind of recognize the importance of mining for Canada and the importance of mining projects, as the backbone of the economy to create jobs, to generate prosperity, and maintain Canada as as a strong independent nation as well. The rhetoric change may or may not translate in more expedited timelines. I'm skeptical by nature, so we'll see what actually is going to change or not there. But regardless, and as you were kind of alluding to in a little bit, is we already have two mine permits already in place, which puts us in a completely separate permitting track or re-permitting track.
Yeah, I think that's huge, and that can't be said enough. You don't have those time restrictions. I mean, as you explained it to me when I saw you here in Atlanta, there is some kind of addendum that you have to make, but it's not going through the whole process. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, that's right. So we have two mine permits. One at the Cassiar, well, at the Cassiar North, the Cassiar project. We have Cassiar North, which is hosts the Taurus deposit in the entirety of our resource, 2.3 million ounces at a gram per ton. We have a paved road straight to the deposit. We have electricity, infrastructure, great topography, and we have a mine permit that covers part of the Taurus deposit. So we will need to amend that. That permit to amend it to production and getting to a mining decision, we think probably the soonest will be about a 3 year process, the minimum, maybe more likely like 4 or maybe 5, but either way we see it as a 5 year process to develop the Taurus deposit, and the surrounding targets. We have a goal there of eventually produce at least 200,000 ounces per year. We see potential for multiple of these Taurus deposits around the Taurus deposit. We don't even know how big the Taurus deposit is going to be because it's only constrained by drilling. It starts at surface. But because of the tonnage that we will be coming out of that will take a little bit more time. We also have a second mine permit that includes the four past producing underground mines that historically produced at an average of 16 grams per ton. These are narrow, 3 meter wide, so not that narrow, but not open pit scenario, underground mining, 3 meter wide veins running at 16 grams per ton, for which we have a fully owned permitted mill, 300 tons per day. We have about 25 kilometers of underground development already in place, connecting the surface to the unmined sections of those veins. We have power coming through all of the portals. We have tailings facilities. We have 160 kilometers of mining roads connecting the mill, the mines, and the different targets that we have in the property to the tailings and the provincial highway that bisects our property. So that puts us in a very unique position. On that one, we're also right now, looking to put that into development, put that back into production, firing up that mill. And the critical path there to amend that mine permit from care and maintenance to production status is the repurposing of the tailings facility. We believe it's about a year and a half to 2 years to get that up and running.
As opposed to 6 plus years or 7 plus years.
Correct.
Yeah.
One thing that we're also assessing there is the possibility of direct ship ore as well, because it's very high grade material. A couple of companies in British Columbia are doing that, very successfully, and they've been handsomely rewarded their share price because of that as well. And we have, similar, if not actually better grade material than them as well. So it's and for the direct ship ore, we can actually probably cut that year and a half to 2 year, maybe even in half. So we're also evaluating that and engaging with permitting experts and initiating the evaluation of the refurbishment of the mill. Assessing the gold that we have in the tailings facilities as well. We have over 15,000 ounces reported to the tailings that running around 1 gram to 2.7 grams per ton. And we're also evaluating what we have in those veins to potentially get that into production sooner rather than later.
Yeah, that's excellent. So, did walk me through the plan through the next rest of the year. We talked a little bit about that when you were in Atlanta. But is it to get the tailings into production? Is it to drill more, or is it all of the above?
Well, the tailings we're evaluating. So the tailings are right at surface. Again, 1 gram to 2.7 grams per ton. It's a decent amount of ounces, over 15,000 ounces. So you can monetize that potentially. But as of now, we actually do not know for sure which process would work to recover that, or we can just sell the material. So we're evaluating that not right now. So it's a bit of a question mark. Something we'll be doing some testing as we open camp next month to see what's the most optimal way to extract value out of the tailings. Where we see most of the value really is on the high grade veins, because these historically have produced at an average of 16 grams per ton,
Wow.
which is extremely high
That's
grade.
exceptional.
Exceptional. It's really, I think that's the perfect word to describe it. Exceptional. When you look at the drilling that we've done there, the extensions we've drilled, we had intercepts of over 3 meters, all the way up to 270 meters, not 32 grams per ton, all the way up to 270 grams per ton, although in kind of in narrow intervals, but very high grades. We typically see on average about 20 grams per ton on that kind of those veins, and that's very close to the infrastructure. We have underground workings that are less than 50, 60 meters away from the vein, so it doesn't take it takes very little additional development to access that type of material as well. So it's something we're pretty excited about, and we're actually been talking with several partners about debt off-takers, debt providers for non-dilutive capital, strategics, because we're going out for bid for putting together like an engineering study, a bit of a scoping study, and a bit of a mining plan there to see the costing and the potential on the mining there. But our internal estimates give us about $30 million to get that up and running. And when you look at the size of the mill, 300 ton per day, if you assume the historical grade, which is actually lower than what we've seen in the drilling that we've done more recently, the historical grade, which is 16 grams per ton, that would be about 45,000 ounces per year. Even at 10 grams per ton, that would be about 30,000 ounces per year. So that's a pretty substantial amount of gold that could be pulled out. And most of the infrastructure is already there. There's a set of activities that need to be done to make that a reality, and we're actively pursuing those right now.
Got it. So you just mentioned your camp opens in the next 30 days. And I'm assuming that's just going to be the drill rigs are going to be turning, correct?
That's right. Like we've already committed to 10,000 meters of drilling, splitting about half north and south. It's we've always had this dilemma, high grade underground or bulk tonnage open pit. We like both, so we'll drill both. The south is a little bit more immediate and urgent because we're looking at to develop what we have there in the south. But actually, what we see most of the value for the company in the medium to long term is actually in the north on the open pit material. Because we already have at a 0.3 cutoff grade, we already have a combined resource of just under 2.6 million ounces, and we see potential for multiple of these deposits. So we don't want to keep although the near term opportunity biggest value might be the south and the high grade,
Right.
we don't want to take the foot off the gas on the bulk tonnage. And we also
Yeah.
have, met studies and the PEA coming. We hired Ausenco as well to do the
When is the
PEA.
PEA coming?
So we estimating probably around July.
Oh, wow. So that's right around the corner. Yeah. So you should have a lot of great news flow. It's been a little bit quiet, but you should have a lot of great news flow coming out over the next several weeks, if not several months, correct?
That's right. So, I mean, it's been very quiet, maybe on the press release front, but to be quite honest, it's been extremely busy, like inside of the company. I mean, it's hard to describe, but the strategic interest has been massive for all sorts of groups, all sorts of ideas on the table, all sorts of funding providers that want to, get attached to the project one way or the other. It's a really good problem to have, but the day only has 24 hours. So, and we got to pick our lane as well in terms of the best path forward to maximize the value creation for our shareholders.
Yeah, well,
But
drink a lot of coffee, okay?
Yeah,
And sleep
I
in the
have been
office.
I haven't done yet that yet, but. Yeah, it's been long days, and the team has been on full in high rotation. All the board members have been extremely involved, basically working pro bono and helping out. And it's a great time to be in the company. It's a great time for Cassiar. You see it somehow reflected on the share price, except when Trump decides to do some sort of tweet that sends the gold price tanking, or people to sell off their gold equities. But the progress that we've made and the interest that we received in the last 6 to 12 months it's been incredible.
Yeah, it really has. And it's really, I think, reflecting, starting just starting to reflect in the share price. Marco, if people want more information about you, where do they go? And if people want to buy and trade you, what tickers are you, what tickers do you have? And what exchanges are you traded on?
Sure. Yeah, you can find information, a lot of information actually on our website, cassiargold.com. Cassiar is spelled CASSIAR, gold.com. Have a lot of information there. You can do virtual tours. We have a short deck, about 25 pages. We have a long deck, which is about 60 pages long. There's a lot of good information. It's a very unique project because we have both tonnage, open pit. We have the mill, but the mill is for the high grade. We have So it takes a little bit to wrap your head around the project and really see the opportunity. But once you do, it's really you realize it's really worth your time, and it becomes very, very, very hard not to go and buy some stock, which a lot of investors and insiders have been doing. In terms of where we trade in the Toronto Stock Exchange as GLDC. We trade in the US on the OTCQX as CGLCF, and we also trade here in Germany in Frankfurt as well. So yeah, lots of venues to trade. We're still extremely undervalued compared to our peers in absolute terms. I was just looking at the presentation slide deck, and I think we're trading on an enterprise value per ounce on the ground at about $30 Canadian, which is about, 25 US dollars per ounce on the ground.
That's an opportunity. So,
Yeah.
yeah. So, Marco, want to thank you so much. Love to have you on again soon as the news comes out. But yeah, I'll put everything that you said in the show notes, both on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify.
Awesome.
All right. Thanks. Good to see you, man.
Thank you. Likewise. Thanks for having me.